and be Matthew chapter 7. And verses 12 through 25. So whatever you wish that others would do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets. Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction. And those who enter by it are many. For the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will recognize them by their fruits. Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? So every tree bears good fruit, but the diseased tree bears bad fruit. A healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a diseased tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus you will recognize them by their fruits. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many mighty works in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. Everyone who then hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. Amen. You may be seated. I planned on speaking on or from a book that I read daily and have been for an awful long time, and that was Proverbs. I had it all prepared, and as usual, what happens to me every time I come up here is God says, no, I want you to do something else. So I'm going to do something else, and it is called Practicing the Presence. I have a unique blessing from God, at least I think for me, and I guess it's not so totally unique because I know of at least one person in here, probably several that have gone through this, but I grew up in a very, very dark environment. God was not present or acknowledged in his presence. We did not attend church, had no basic religion, no basic, well, what you folks would have called love in your families. There wasn't much of that going around. And it is a blessing. Because when I found Christ and found a good, solid Bible preaching church, I recognized that the Spirit was there. And it helped me. About 11 years ago, we came to this church. And both my wife and I realized that the Spirit was here. The Spirit was definitely here. I look at Matthew 7:12. So whatever you wish that others would do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets. Folks, the Spirit isn't just here. I have seen, especially in the past 3 to 4 years, the Spirit working in this body of believers. And every time I come up here, I get weepy. Every time I come up here, I hurt, but it's hurt in a good way because I'm seeing God work, and I'm seeing him work in all of you. The hope is there. Thing of it is, we sing about it and we talk about it, but there is so much, much more than just this bit that's right here. God's love is infinitely deep, as I am learning. His kindness is more than any of us could ever deserve, but we all receive. It doesn't begin when we reach the point of going into His kingdom. It begins today. We have in the past, I'd say probably 6 years, experienced the gifts being utilized within this body. And that's wonderful. We've seen all kinds of different things going on that are definitely of the Holy Spirit. But family, there's something that's far more important than that. And it's something that the Lord has been leading me since, well, just before Terry left on his sabbatical. And that's the presence of God. Everything else diminishes. And it's not saying, oh yeah, I pray to God. It's not enough. Practice the presence of God. You know, we know that Jesus told us that I am with you always, even until the very end. But do we know it? Do we practice it? Do we keep it in our heart? We have a beautiful little place built right here where we come together, we embrace one another, but when we go out those doors, the attacks start. And we start to weaken. And we fail to see that God is with us. Sometimes we take our eyes off. Maybe tragedy. Maybe death. Maybe rotten circumstances in life. We don't have to live with them because we have Christ. We don't have new members here. You want to know why? Because they're returning home. They're not new members. They've always been members. They're just now declaring that they want to be part of this family, even though they always have been. Don't let them get away with that. Matthew 7:13 says, enter by the narrow gate. For the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction, and those who enter by it are many. Yeah, that's really a no-brainer on that one. Of course the way is going to be easy. Our adversary doesn't have to put stumbling blocks in our way when we're already down flat on our faces. Our adversary doesn't have to try to lead us astray when we're not even walking with God. If we want to go on the play now and pay later plan, we can. But it's going to cause us a lot of grief and a lot of pain. But not right now. It'll seem all fine and dandy. Strength has to come through the presence of God. Matthew 7:14 says, for the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Our adversary knows our weaknesses and our buttons if we're not wearing them on our shirt or somewhere like that. But as we strive to stay with God, well, Proverbs 4:18 says it even better, and I'll read it. It says, but the path of the righteous is like the light of dawn, which shines brighter and brighter until the full day. The way of the wicked is like deep darkness. They do not know over what they stumble. Folks, we don't have righteousness except that which we receive from Christ, and that's all we need. So if your way is getting brighter, at least then you can see those stumbling blocks that are being placed in front of you. Trust in God, but practice His presence. Matthew 7:15, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but are inwardly ravenous wolves. You know, you get a picture of that and you think of somebody that is coming into your church and is just tearing people apart. False doctrine, blasphemy, the whole bit. But it's not just that. Those ravenous wolves can be the circumstances in your life that are taking your eyes off Christ, that are pulling you away from standing with Him and standing in His presence and trying to stand on your own. Again, we talk about not standing on our own, relying on Christ. But until you're honestly, truthfully, embracing and practicing His presence, realizing every minute of every day He is with you. It's sliding away. We make salvation a goal. We make gift utilization a goal. That's not the goal. The goal is the presence of God. We don't have to wait. It doesn't come after death. It comes today. Obviously, God has been working on my heart kind of deeply on this. We reflect the love, and this church does a better job of reflecting love than any body I've ever been associated with. I wouldn't be afraid to call on any one of you or seek any one of you. Doesn't mean that you're going to drop what you're doing, but it may mean that you'll call somebody else who will. But I can count on every one of you. Matthew 7:16 through 19, you will recognize them by their fruits. Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? So every healthy tree bears good fruit, but the diseased tree bears bad fruit. A healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a diseased tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Diseased tree in the Greek is sapros. It means corrupt. It's not just something that's affecting it from the outside. It's something that's affecting it from the inside. We don't need to put the effort out to produce the fruit if we're in the presence of God, because He is the vine dresser. He is the one who will prune us, who will grow us, will provide everything we need for sustenance if we'll rely on Him, stay in His presence. Remember the gifts. Well, those gifts are a byproduct of the presence of God. You're going to produce fruit. Actually, you're going to produce fruit, whether it's good fruit or bad fruit. If you're in the presence of God, there's no question. It's good fruit. If you're the flesh, there's no question. Commit to God. Acknowledge Him in all things. And no, I'm not going to say Proverbs 3, 4, and 5 again, or 5 and 6 again. I do that every time I'm up here, and I'm pretty sure that most of you are kind of committed that one to heart. Matthew 7:20, thus you will recognize them by their fruits. Turn with me, if you will, to Mark chapter 11. I love to hear the pages turning, and I love to, this is the only fun part about standing up here, is I mark my Bible with little stickies before so I don't have to search, which is a good thing for me. Verse 12, on the following day, when they came from Bethany, He was hungry, and seeing in the distance a fig tree and leaf, He went to it to see if He could find anything on it. When He came to it, He found nothing but leaves, for it is not the season for figs. And He said to it, may no one ever eat fruit from you again. And His disciples heard it. This tree really looked good. How many times do we see people that really look good in the walk? Oh boy, they even sound good. But looks are not necessarily where we need to be. This tree, when Jesus spoke to it, didn't do like most things when they're dying from an external disease. The leaves kind of crinkle up, turn brown, fall off, and the tree dies. Like most of my fruit trees after the deer have got to them. What this did was it died from the roots up because it wasn't getting the nutrition. Jesus is speaking here, I believe, of Israel, but He could be speaking to any one of us if we're not rooted in God, and we say, okay, yeah, we're rooted in God. We pray. Do more than pray. How can you practice the presence? Small groups. We've got 3 or 4 that are going on within this body of believers right now. And if those three or four don't suit you, if the time doesn't, the people don't, whatever it is, look around in here. Turn to someone. Say, hey, let's study something. There's a whole bunch of books. There's a whole 66 books in here. If you study it diligently, you'll be lucky to get through one per year. If we listen to our pastor, we're lucky. Actually, we're unfortunate because he gets them done quickly, like 3 or 4 years. 5 years in Ephesians, but that's okay. It's worth it. But it's worth it to gather together because you not only grow in God, you grow in one another. We are strengthening one another. Your view isn't the same as my view. How God speaks to you is maybe not the same way I heard it. But if we're talking together, keeps us on his path, and it strengthens us. As I said, God will prune, God will shape, and if you're in his presence, you got no choice. It's good fruit. Matthew 7:21-7:23 reads, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many mighty works in your name?' And then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness.'" We've got folks in here who every time they hear that, shake. And they're some of the best Christians I've ever met. I mean, they not only wear it externally, they wear it internally. But they still shake. And that's okay. That's okay, but your confidence has to be in whom you dwell. These folks here, in this, these particular three verses, were producing fruit. I mean, it says right here, "We were prophesying in your name." That's a gift. "Casting out demons." That's a gift. "And doing many other mighty works in your name." Those are gifts. But they were pear trees producing walnuts. Jesus didn't know them. Believing in God isn't enough. Making him Lord of your life, if you truly, truly make him Lord of your life, you won't take your eyes off him. In the past, in the 1500s and previous, when there was the title Lord meant something, he had the option to take your life, take your property, take whatever you had. And like the king was described to the Israelites when they first said, "We don't need God, we want a king." Make him Lord, but stay with him. Know where he wants you to go because you're with him. All right. Okay. Usually you folks see a slide up there that says grow where you're planted, and I've got various pictures of trees growing out of rock. But it dawned on me that it's not good enough just to grow where you're planted, bloom where you're planted. Every one of you people are amazing to me. Every one of you. So bloom. Anyway, before you can produce fruit, you got to have some flowers out there. So bloom where you're planted. Do we have any kids in here today? And if you would step forward, please. I'm safe, really. Come on. You're back. Boy, you came back just in time. We're going to the second part of this. Come on over here if you would. That way I don't have to walk so far. Because it's a long way for me. Of course, that's a long way too. All right. Selah, you were here, and Zach, you were here. And I think you were here also with the squirrels. Do you remember them? Yeah. The squirrels had been sent out, three of them, three young ones, to try to find food for the colony. They were told the best places to check. You know, kind of like when your parents tell you, yeah, that's the best place to look. Your present might be over in that closet. They keep on winking their eye and you think they got something in there. We left last time with Bart, who is the leader squirrel, really, returning to the colony to face the music because they hadn't obeyed for their failure to find the winter food supply. Bert was hurrying back to help because the third member of their trio, Buzz, is trapped. He's still trapped by long, thin arms of those rose bushes. Each time he moves, the thorns stick, dig a little deeper into his skin, and a few more thorns are positioned to stick him. Now, Bart reached the colony and gave the olders, that's the olders the terrible news. As he relayed the story, the olders broke into gentle smiles. It's giving him terrible news. They're smiling. Their smile stopped Bart in mid-sentence. Don't you understand? We messed up. We didn't even listen, he said in great frustration. The oldest older asked, Bart, did you not check the places we suggested? No, sir, Bart replied. We thought we knew better. The oldest asked, so did you? Where are the rest of you? Bart replied, no, sir, we were wrong. And my two friends, a panicky uproar, cut Bart off in mid-sentence as Bert ran forward. Help! Help! The roses have grabbed Buzz. He can't escape. The oldest, alarmed, asked, what do you mean the roses grabbed him? Were you in the rose bush forest? It was all Buzz's idea. I didn't want to go, but... Silence followed. Then oldest spoke. You were told never to go to the rose bush forest, and you understood, right? Well, yes, we didn't want the colony to starve, Bert answered, even somewhat self-righteously. And still you went. Did you really believe that Father would ask you to do something you couldn't do? Did you not listen when you were told where to search? Oldest asked. No, we thought we knew better, cried Bert. We didn't think that we would have the same problems that everybody else did. We didn't think that something like this would happen to us. Oldest replied, you are correct. You didn't think, and worse, you didn't believe. By that time, Bert was in tears and could only nod in agreement. Come now, Oldest said. We need to make preparations either to free Buzz or to recover his body. Okay. I just happen to have from our very own Rosebush Forest that I am diligently attempting to move a chunk of rosebush. You see the little red things on there? Those are called rose hips, and that's what Buzz thought would be great for the colony. But he was told not to go near it. Now, can this hurt you from where you're sitting? Can it hurt you from where you're sitting if it's sitting right here? No, not really. You're sitting there. This is sitting here. So it's not going to touch you, is it, right now? I mean, I'm not going to be dumb and swing it. So it really can't hurt you. Can it reach out and grab you? Does it have a body so that it can go... Yeah, but do you see how the limbs are like this? What happens if you get close to it? It'll stick you and it'll hold on to you. So what happens when you're told not to do something and you do it anyway? You kind of get stuck, don't you? So you got to stay away. Your folks right now, because they love you deeply, will tell you things to stay away from. God will also tell you. Stay away from the thorns. Stay away from the rose bushes. Those may look good, but there's a terrible penalty to be paid
And that's losing a whole lot of blood and getting stuck by a whole lot of thorns. So how would you go to rescue Buzz? Each one of you. How would you do it? Would you go out in a bathing suit?
No.
No, I don't think so. Warm clothes. That's a good idea because those are thick, aren't they? That is a very good idea. How about the rest of you? What would you put on? I got a leather motorcycle suit that I could probably walk through that stuff and all it'd do is scratch the leather a little bit. What else? What else could we wear? Yeah, gloves would be a real good idea. I've got a glove wrapped around the bottom of this thing because I've already managed to discover that those little pointy things are sharp. God tells us to put on the full armor. Now that's the spiritual stuff. So sometimes we need to put on full armor to protect ourselves from wrong things, just like we need to put on full armor here. What's a great thing, big thing, that Bert did wrong this time? What did he do? He went in the rose bush, and then he blamed somebody else, didn't he? He said it was all Buzz's fault. So is he taking responsibility for what he did? No. It would be rude for him to blame other people, wouldn't it? Yeah. So instead, yeah, we need to say, okay, I did wrong. But Buzz is still out there. The thorny branches are holding him tighter and tighter and tighter. The thorns are puncturing and penetrating deeper and deeper and deeper. Will he be rescued in time? Maybe. I don't know either. We're going to have to wait till next time. Okay? Okay. Really, there will be a next time. Okay. Thank you. Now, see that lady in the moose blouse over, or moose sweater there? She's got her hand raised. That's where you can go to get your treats today. Yes, sir. The candy. We like to call them treats because that way I don't feel guilty about giving them to you. Go for it. Thank you. Matthew 7:24-27. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock, and the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall, because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand, and the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. We're building our house on rock, on the rock, at least in this body of believer. We've got a pastor that is speaking God's word each Sunday, and he does a wonderful job. He is strengthening us. But it's also up to you. He's not going to be able to build your house, but he can show you where to build it. Study. Meet with one another. Fellowship. Embrace one another. And build that house there on the rock. Not everyone goes to heaven. We already know that. He's told us, "Depart from me, I never knew you." Practice the presence of God. I've got a final word on that, and honestly, this really is my final word. It's in Colossians, if you'll turn with me there, please.
And if you get to Galatians, just remember God's electric power company. Company is Colossians, electric Ephesians. And we can go right through it that way. If you get to 1 Timothy, actually Thessalonians, then you're a bit too far. Chapter 3, thank you. And just a couple verses in chapter 3. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things that are above, not on the things on earth. What more do you need? What more do any of us need than these verses to tell us to fix our eyes, fix our hearts, fix our lives on God? That doesn't mean that you can no longer read a fiction book. It doesn't mean that you can't watch television. It means that you have a God consciousness because you are in communion with God. You are with God. And yeah, there's going to be stuff that comes across the tube, and there's books out there that you wouldn't want anybody to read. So God will let you know. And He does let us know. Embrace Him. But don't let it slide away. Embrace Him constantly. When you leave here, He's with you. He's not staying here. This isn't a neat little box where we go and worship God once a week. If you were to believe that, it wouldn't be a box anymore. It'd be a coffin. And it wouldn't be God in it. It would be one of us. You've given your hearts to Him. Give your lives to Him. Seek Him every minute of the day. When you hit your hand, as I often do with a hammer, it's really tough. But you don't have to be colorful. You can praise God. You can even praise God in that, because at least you didn't hit your head, which I've also done. We'll talk about that. So folks, please, turn to Him. Heavenly Father, thank You. Thank You for the magnificence of Your Word. Thank You for the completion that You gave us in this book. Father, thank You for the fact that we don't need to add to it or take away from it. We don't need to bend it to fit our needs, but rather it should bend us. Father, speak to each one of our hearts, especially as we begin, even as we begin to look at the world problems, the fires, the earthquakes, the rest of the stuff that's going on. Help us to remember that if we are in Your presence, we truly are ambassadors. And as such, we will be called home. And Father, we know that that is going to be far more beautiful than what we experience now. Please, Lord, be glorified throughout this week in each one of our presence, in our speech, and in our thought. In Jesus' name we pray.